podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Support for GigPod is brought to you by Swiss Movement. Quality watches at affordable prices. Check out their website at www.swissmovement.co and get 10% off all watches with the code GigPod88.
Tic-tac. Hello, and thanks for downloading episode 64 of the Glasgow's Green Podcast, aka GigPod. I'm Stevie, and a bit like Celtic in midweek, I've survived a scare to get a job done as professionally as possible. Now the long countdown to this episode is over, the long wait for the game is almost over, and before we know it, Celtic will be in the Bears' Den tomorrow at 12 o'clock. But there's not going to be any Bears there, is there? Now with me to answer that question, as a man who used to be known as Mr. Worldwide, but he's now Mr. Covid. It's Spunkphone. So Spunkphone, first off, will there be any Bears there?
I don't imagine there'll be any literal Bears there, Stevie. And obviously I'm incapable of understanding a metaphor, so I'm sure that's exactly what you meant by that. But hola, buenos tardes. Been brushing up my Spanish, obviously, as the events of the last few days have unfolded. So muy contento to be back on this podcast, Stevie.
Exceptional stuff. So for the any of the audience who may not know why you're brushing up in Spanish and why you now start eating burritos and tacos, why don't you let the audience know as to where the whole Mexican gimmick comes from?
So in the last few days or so, I've been speaking back and forth with a young lady online who's a big fan of the Paramore lead singer, Hayley Williams. That's it, really.
I hope you're more excited about tomorrow's game than you are with this potential relationship. So, talk about the game itself. I mean, how are you feeling about it? I mean, see, if a few weeks ago if you asked us, you know, at the start of August or whatever about this match, we would have been both dreading it, wouldn't we? But it's been anything but. I'm actually excited for it. I'm excited to see this team tomorrow and how they react to it in this atmosphere. And, I mean, I don't know how you feel about it, if you're maybe the opposite for me, but I'm so buzzing for it.
No, I think I'm much in the same boat. I think, as you say, if it had been a few weeks ago, I'd have been absolutely dreading it, particularly after the opening day at Tynecastle. But certainly after the recent run of form, even if you know, we did have a bit of a scare on Thursday night, ultimately we did still come through it. So, no, I'm looking forward to it. I think, especially looking at their form, I think going into the game as well, there's plenty to be optimistic about, both on our end and I think there's certainly weaknesses in their team that we can expose. So no, I'm looking forward to it, brother.
Yeah, same. Now, I mean, we go into this game as a form team. We've been scoring goals, we've been playing brilliant football, we've been exciting to watch, and we've just been a team that very much is on the ascendancy now. You look at Rangers, they are so chronically off the pace. I mean, I was sitting, I've not really, like yourself, I'm isolating for different reasons, not positive with COVID, just felt utterly horrendous after a jag and also combined with a cold. It's been brutal, so I resorted to watching their game against Alish Kerr at Yerevan on Thursday. My God, it just had a feeling of us against Riga or Sarajevo last season. Thing is though, we progressed in those games, but we never once went, that's a sign of a right good team, beating these teams and just getting the job done. I mean, we were saying last season, something not quite right with a Celtic team. I looked at our Rangers team and yes, okay, I know they've got players out because of COVID, and I know that they were travelling, you know, it was with energy sat and heat, I thought 30 degrees and all that, and I know there was other factors in it, but you look at the two teams there, and Rangers really should be, I'm not saying get a divine right just to turn up and win, but they should be good enough to put, you know, two or three past a team like that. It was a real mismatch on the pitch, and then if you watched it, there wasn't much between them. Both teams were just appalling. So I get the feeling that if Celtic went over there, especially the form we're in now, we would have went over to Yerevan and, you know, got the game done and dusted in the first half. And I just don't see anything from Rangers this season to what they were last season. They seem to have lost the swagger that they had. And if I'm honest with you, Spunkphone, they remind me exactly of what we were last season. They haven't strengthened their team. Their decent players have went backwards. They obviously had the Euro Howler against Malmo, similar to our Ferencváros. And generally, there's just something right off about them. And let me just ask you, do you have the same sort of feeling that Rangers this season are very much Celtic 2020, 2021, certainly in terms of energy.
You know, I get that exact same feeling as well, Stevie. I couldn't really put it much better myself. I'd watched their game on Thursday at Armenia as well, and they were rotten, to be honest. And by all accounts, weren't great in the first leg either. And obviously, from what I've seen of them domestically this season, they have looked well off it. And you do get that similar kind of vibe, so to speak, using a kind of Love Island term, but you know what I mean, off them this season. But I think it certainly does have echoes of that. I don't know, obviously the procedure and everything's kind of changed around the whole COVID and self-isolation, etc. So, you know, we don't know if maybe some of the players that were missing on Thursday might be back for them on Sunday. Fingers crossed or no, because frankly, they deserve a taste of their own medicine for last season. But yeah, I mean, even with those players back in the team, they have still looked well off it. So it's certainly that, along with our good form recently, has certainly lifted my spirits and lifted the expectation as well going into the game on Sunday.
You thought about the players that they could have missing, and indeed we both hope that that is the case and they're nowhere to be seen on the pitch. But out of the players that potentially could be missing for them, Spunkform, what one out of them all, if you had the choice for one of them to definitely miss the game, who would it be?
Kent, easily.
I was going to say Alan McGregor, actually.
It's a shout as well, to be fair. I'd personally say Kent. I know he's been kind of off the ball for them this season by all accounts, but I just think in these games, he always tends to turn up for them. And at the moment, you know, where are we looking most vulnerable? Albeit Tony Ralston sort of came through the games as best he has, or as best he can, I suppose. And we've praised him for that, and fair play to him. But I just think with him and Starfelt in there as well, who's not really looked settled either, Kent always sort of looking to cut in. I just think we could do without him starting, and they're kind of short, I think, in terms of wingers without him there. So it would kind of limit, I suppose, what they're able to do tactically as well. Obviously, Alan McGregor as well is another one you'd want to have missing, I suppose, because when he is on form, he can win those games on his own. But no, but for me, with the vulnerabilities we've got just now at the back, I'd prefer to see Kent out, I think, if I had a choice of one for their team.
I think it would be Alan McGregor for myself, although at the same time, when I look at their poor results this season, it's been McGregor that's been in goals for them. But there is something about it, isn't there? I always remember Andy Gorham sold the jerseys for them in the odd game. Like, there was a week once where they get beat. I think they get beat off, actually, they did. They get beat off us, Falkirk and AEK Athens. Gorham was just getting pelters by their fans. They were saying that he was done. He was finished with them. He was too unfit. He was sluggish. And then a couple of months later, we played Rangers, and Andy Gorham, as always, just kept him in a game and ended up going on to win it. McGregor's got that type of presence for them that even if he has been terrible against, say, Hibs, Hearts or Aberdeen, games against us, he'll just raise it. So I'm hoping he's missing, but we'll have to find out tomorrow. As Reeds always say, we'll just have to wait and see. Right, so indeed, it's Andrew's first derby match tomorrow. It's going to be his first experience of a Rangers-Celtic game. And before I ask you a question about other managers and their first derby game experiences and what one stood out to you, I mean, Andrew isn't Neil Lennon, so he's not going to come in for like all sorts of venomous abuse and all that. I mean, the most he's got is some terrible patter on YouTube about his surname. Great one there, guys. However, I don't really think Angie's going to let an atmosphere like Ibrox go, really faze him that much, is he?
I don't think he's that sort of character, isn't he? I don't think he's really bothered by anything. Some of the YouTube patter, but which we've posted on the account, is hilarious in terms of how bad it is. Flange Pasta Cock Glue, I think, is the one that stands out for me. It's so your da, but just even if he was getting stuck, I don't think he strikes me as the sort of guy that just will not care.
Yeah, I think even if he was to have 50,000 of them hitting out with that posty cock, no get a clue, whatever the fuck they say on YouTube, I don't think he would even register with him. He's just that focused on getting the job done in the pitch. So by all means, if they want to resort to that part of fine, I don't think Ange will be phased tomorrow. Hopefully the team aren't as well. And that's a positive, isn't it, when your manager is that type of steely individual that he's no phased on the sidelines. Your team must be getting a lot of inspiration for that. Contrast that with a certain other manager who should not be named any time he went to Ibrox and it was a full house. In a weird, perverse way, he always loved making it about himself, didn't he?
I mean, it was good theatre any time he went to Ibrox, to be fair. But yes, I think it wasn't the sort of calmness and focus that you'd have been looking for your manager. Say, for example, the way somebody like Rodgers carried himself in those games, as opposed to the man who will not be named.
Get off me. That's the thing. We can't burst out laughing either because we'll have big coughing fits. So we have to keep this as professional as possible. You mentioned Rodgers there, so I'm going to come to you on this one. Talking about other managers and their first derby game experiences, what one really stands out for yourself then with ex-Celtic managers in their first game at either Ibrox or just at Celtic Park against Rangers?
So personally for me, I would say the Rodgers one. I'm kind of showing my age here in respect to how young I am relative to the other individuals on this podcast, Stevie. But the 5-1 with Rodgers was the first one I'd actually ever been to of these games. So that certainly is the one that stands out for me. Them obviously coming up being quite buoyant. I know they dropped a few points actually coming into that game, I think against Hamilton and Kilmarnock, but you still had Joey Barton shooting for the rooftops about how he was the, you know, best player in the country. You had a big going for 55 card display. So
against Hamilton Accies.
Exactly. But as much as I've tried to sort of rewrite history in the years since about, oh, you were lauded over Senderos and Kiernan or whatever, you know, at the time they did think they were going to be serious challengers to us. And I remember on the day, people panicking because Lee Griffiths.
Lee who?
Don't be disrespectful, Stephen. Don't be disrespectful. But I remember like there was mass panic because Lee Griffiths wasn't fit enough to make the start in 11. And then Dembele came in and just wrote his name into Celtic Derby Day folklore with that wonderful hat-trick. Perfect hat-trick as well, where he'd a left foot and right foot. And I always remember the video of Senderos coming up to him in the tunnel beforehand, shaking his hand because he'd been teammates at Fulham, saying good luck. And, you know, about 60 or so minutes later, Moussa Dembele had basically ended his career.
The football we were playing and the way we were progressing and maturing as a team and just gelling was so different to Rangers, and that's what I mean. That's what I see. See, I hate that whole form book goes out the window part. It doesn't, because Rangers were in ropey form getting into that game in 2016. They were all over the place. They weren't convincing whatsoever, even when they were winning, whereas Celtic were, and Celtic were professional, and they really just put Rangers in the place that day, and that's what we could do tomorrow. I wanted to talk about a different type of game now. Again, I'm going to show my age here. This was back in 1998. This was a game I was terrified in. You remember the Joe Venglos season? This guy inherited such a mess, and Celtic just pressed the self-destruct button after they stopped Rangers doing 10 in a row. Janssen left, there was pay disputes, Fergus McCann was booed after unveiling the league flag against Dunfermline. The club was just in some state, up against a Rangers side who had just spent mental money on World Cup winners. Guys like Andrew Kanchelskis came in their team and they'd just been able to, I think they threw something like 30 or 40 million that season. Like, it's just, bear in mind, there wasn't like a transfer window back then. I think it was like in for like August to September, they genuinely had spent so much money. They were up against a real juggernaut of a team, and amazingly enough, we drew 0-0. At that time as well, Spunkphone, we had like Mark Reaper out, Harold Brattbite was out as well, like Simon Donnelly just got over the flu, Tom Boyd was out, and Paul Lambert was suspended, so McNamara, Vikost, and Mark Burchill were out too. It was like a makeshift Celtic team, and amazingly enough, we got a 0-0 draw against our Rangers team at Ibrox with like Giovanni Van Bronckhorst and Barry Ferguson there at the time was one of the better players, Alberts, and I think there was also Gabriel Amato as well, who I rated. So to this day, I don't know how we escaped Ibrox with a draw. This is where we talk about where we think the game's going to be won. And Spunkphone, please don't say it on the pitch. So I just want to know your opinions on, I'm going to hit it with where I think we can win it. So I don't think, I'm not going to buy into this, the game will be won in midfield part. The main way we can win the game is actually out wide, because I look at their fullbacks now and they are struggling. I think our wingers are flying, and if we can stretch them, I reckon we can have some amount of joy against them, because their defence has, for all this talk about Celtic, have got a dodgy defence and, you know, we're leading goals left, right and centre. That was like back at the end of July and the start of August. We've actually got a grip, I would say, and compared to Rangers, because I watched them against Ross County, and any time Ross County were going forward against them, Ross County were giving them problems. So I think, if anything, if our wingers like Abada, I'd bring Forrest back in for it as well, and I'd have Kyogo through in the middle, and I would have that front three just stretching them, because, you know, Goldson and Hollander. Well, bear in mind, they played during the week against Dallas Kert. They'll be thrust right into this one on Sunday. There wasn't a lot of recovery time, and I reckon, you know, the fresh legs of James Forrest, the pace of Abada and Kyogo as well, who just doesn't stop. The three of them can honestly give their defence absolute nightmares. The only thing I would say about their defence is what I noticed. I think Barisic is just a shadow of himself for now. He's been really, really poor this season. If they're able to bring that boy Bassey back, it's probably a plus for them, because he's been so much more superior to Barisic this season for the games I've seen. Nathan Patterson is probably a better going forward than sort of Tavernier as well. I noticed during the week, I don't know if you noticed as well, Swankphone, but against Dallas Kert, Patterson wasn't doing his usual bombing up and down the wing. He seemed to be conserving his energy a lot, so I don't know if that's a deliberate tactic for him to go all out on Sunday, and that's what we'll have to be careful for. But I think if we can stop their fullbacks from bombing up, if it is either Barisic or Bassey, and it will be Patterson we're up against, if we can stop them doing that, and if we can pin them in their own half, and if our wingers just constantly give them, you know, no space, no time in the ball, and just stretch them, I think that's where we could get our joy against them. And then after that, you've obviously got our midfield that can hopefully contain them, because they're just going to play that straight 4-3-3 anyway.
Yeah, no, I think you've nailed it there, mate, to be honest. I don't buy into the whole it'll be one in the midfield either. I think it probably will be down more to the midfield to kind of just contain them, really. I think if we go with that front three, that has to be the front three. I wouldn't be messing about starting Edward tomorrow or playing maybe Christie off the left or something like that. I think if Forrest is fit enough to play, he would play him alongside Abada, play Kyogo through the middle, where he's at his most dangerous, and really just look to stretch their defence, because they have been ropey domestically in Europe as well. They've not looked great defensively, so I think you've got to look to expose that with the players that are on form at the moment, and like you said, I think the right personnel obviously in that front three will be crucial to doing that. But I would definitely go with Kyogo through the middle. I think Edwards obviously always there as an impact sub if you need to turn to him. But I think that is where the game will be won or lost, is in those wide positions, and one, stopping their fullbacks bombing forward, but then obviously doing the damage through our wide players and our front players as well.
Yeah, and they'll be looking at us, and they'll be obviously seeing the fact that we've got a very energetic and creative midfield now, and we do have pace and width in our team. They'll still be looking at that defence going, we can get at them. Now, they'll see during the week, and they'll try and learn from AZ Alkmaar. I wouldn't say play like them, so I don't think they've got the capabilities to do that or the personnel. But what I do think is they'll try and target guys like Starfelt and Welsh, who, while I think Welsh is a decent player and he's improving, he's still not the finished article, but he can be. Starfelt, as you said, he's just not settled well now. But this could be a game that makes it. Bear in mind, remember Chris Julian back in the 2019 game as well. Chris Julian was coming in for a lot of criticism. I think he had a couple of real, real dodgy performances. Goes to Ibrox and dominates Alfredo Morelos. We win 2-0. Every long ball, he just gets his head on it. And I think he was up there with one of the best players on the pitch that day as well. Alongside, I think it was like guys like Scott Brown and Edward were brilliant for us. And Cham when he came on too. So it could... I don't want to say it'll break Starfelt. I don't want to be negative about it, but we do have to be realistic. If he is a howler, then, you know, all that money was spent on him, and a lot of people will be going, how many more chances can we give him? If he has a right good game, though, it could make him, the amount of confidence he could get off that for the rest of the season could be so vital, couldn't it? But how do you think he's going to get on?
Well, I think they will get chances, obviously, Rangers. I think as much as we have sorted out the defence to an extent, I think, certainly from where it was a few weeks ago, you know, they will still get opportunities. I think they will look to target Starfelt, obviously. I thought, obviously, the I keep saying obviously here, the first half on Thursday, he was a disaster, to be honest. But I thought actually second half he kind of grew into the game, was a bit more confident. He's kind of been like that at Starfelt, where he maybe has a good half hour or a 45-minute spell in a game, rather than a complete 90-minute performance. But what we need from him on Sunday is a complete 90-minute performance. And they will obviously look to target him. I think they'll look to target Tony Ralston as well. So it's about how we combat that. Obviously, players being on it on the day would help massively. And I think, I don't want to be negative as well and say that it is make or break, but it certainly could make him anyway if he has an outstanding performance tomorrow, because we're kind of just waiting, I think, now on Starfelt having a complete 90 minutes as opposed to a good half hour there and a dodgy 20 minutes here.
I'm aware this isn't the Glasgow is Blue podcast, but we do have to be impartial and realistic and say Rangers still, despite their poor start, they are the champions. We've got to respect that. They're going to beat Ibrox and they do have decent players in their team. What player specifically, Spunkphone, if you're Ange, are you focusing on and going, he could part us if we, you know, don't get to grips with him? I'll go first and I'll say, I'm not going to go with Morelos as much as he can be a threat. I thought he was a complete balloon during the week, but you know what it's like. He'll end up coming back against us and he'll just up it a bit like Ryan Kent does whenever he has a bad game or he's criticised when it's a game against us. He just seems to up the tempo and raise it, and that's something we'll just have to deal with. But I think their best sort of ball-playing midfielder is Glenn Kamara. I thought, you know, without Kamara, Rangers don't look anywhere near as composed and they don't seem to have the tempo, because I don't think Stephen Davis now can dictate games like he did last season, the season before. I think Kamara is now the guy who is doing that sort of role that Davis does. Amazingly enough, I'm still stunned that Davis was able to last 90 minutes during the week against Alice Kerr, and he'll probably be doing the same, because they've not got many options if you look at that bench that they had and the players that they've got out. But I think if you take Glenn Kamara out of that team and you stop him playing, you stop Rangers playing, and I would dearly hope that, you know, Callum McGregor is going to be all over that on Sunday. I'd like to hope Callum McGregor is just going to be there to disrupt his game and obviously focusing on his own, because he's got a job to do for Celtic on the pitch. But if you can stop Kamara playing, I've noticed he stopped Rangers playing, and he always seems to find space. He always seems to be able to pick a pass. He doesn't seem to panic on the ball. He's got very, very good qualities as a footballer, but I think if we can stop him playing, that'll be a real positive for us. That's my opinion on it. But what about you? Is there a player there that you think we've got to stop in their 11?
I'd expect maybe Kemar Roofe, I think, will come back in. I know he didn't start in the week there, but I think he would definitely be one that I'd identify as a threat there. I think just the kind of damage that he's done in the last couple of games here, and I don't know, I've always been quite impressed with him when I've seen him there. Obviously, Joe Hart will be a bit worried if he has to go in for a 50-50 with him as well. So He's certainly one I'd identify as a threat and one that we need to stop there. Davis, as you say, I think famous last words here, but I think this is probably the last season that we'll see for him as a starting midfielder at Rangers, if he does actually last in that position throughout the course of the season. So Kamara has kind of taken over the mantle there. So I think he's certainly a threat, and I think if Roofe comes back in as well, he'd be one to watch for them as well.
Right, well, another thing we have to talk about for this game, but a unique one, where there used to be 8,000 fans in the Broomland. Rangers had a huff because we just kept celebrating there. They moved it to 800, tucked away right in the corner, and now there's not going to be any fans, any Celtic fans there. It's just going to be all Rangers fans, a bit like the 1994 game. How much do you think that's going to impact Celtic? Because, lest we forget, there was no Malmo fans at Ibrox. Malmo went and done them 2-1, so does no Celtic fans there really have that much of a bearing on the game?
I think it'll impact their players more than ours, to be honest, because it's 800 men of their fans that will be screaming and shouting at them the minute things go wrong. No, I think it's even once they'd cut the allocation to the 800, and it is a shame that this whole dispute happened in the first place here, because it is fans and the kind of hardcore, if you like, that do go home and away up and down the country across Europe that are the ones that are missing out here. But see, by the time you accounted for like sponsors' tickets, players' buds and uncles and all that getting their tickets for the game as well, Jack Hendry trying to punt his, you know, you ended up with like practically no atmosphere for the away end anyway. I actually think it's made it a bit more nervy since they cut the allocation in the first place, because it's as if people maybe don't feel as if there's a need to try and outsing 8,000 of them in the corner, or in our case, going there 8,000 in the Broomland. But no, I don't think it will have a massive bearing on the game, to be honest. I think the kind of dramatic bearing that it did have on it was when the initial cut of the 8,000 down to 800 happened. I honestly don't think it'll affect the players that much.
Well, Rangers and Celtic have went through both at the respective grounds, and as we saw 1-1. When it was the allocation being cut, we obviously won 2-0 back in September 2019, when you were seeing goals from Edward and Johnny Hayes. But then Rangers, when they came to Celtic Park a couple of months after that, they eventually won there, and it was goals from, I think Kent scored, and then Edward equalised, didn't he? Thank you for that, SFA, for no disallowing that goal. And then Cathy scored the winner. So both teams have been there and they know how to do it. So, but this is new for Celtic. Rangers are obviously going to have to come to Celtic Park with no fans, and that'll be a good laugh as well. So we'll see how that ends up. But yeah, I agree with you. I don't think it's going to be having too much of a bearing on the game. They're professional footballers, and they should be able to carry out their jobs with each other on the pitch. Whereas, if there's going to be a lot of noise there or no noise, whatever, they should be able to do their job on the pitch as players. And I think Ange and the team will, in any respect. If there was fans there for us cheering them on, that would have been a wee bonus. But there's not, and I think Ange will drill that in, that realistically we can't be looking at that as any excuse. Before I move on, just want to talk very quickly. There was a game similar in 1994 Spunk Phone where Celtic fans were banned from Ibrox thanks to David Murray overreacting over some broken seats. I'm showing my age here because I remember everything about it, but I'm going to quiz you. Do you remember the score and who scored for Celtic?
Bit before my time, that one, Steve. I know John Collins scored a cracking free kick that day, didn't he? Was it a 1-1 draw?
It was indeed, yes. It was a 1-1 draw, and Celtic generally controlled the game. When we opened the scoring through Collins just in the half-hour mark. And to be honest with you, Rangers really huffed and puffed and struggled, and they got a deflected goal from Mikhailchenko, 10 minutes for time, and it ended up being a draw. Celtic were dismal that season, but it just goes to show that there was no fans there. It didn't matter. I mean, Rangers pretty much powered their way to the league. It was a dead rubber, if you will. I know we had a few of them last season against them, but it still just goes to show that if you've got a game plan, then it doesn't matter if there's fans there or not. So a win tomorrow would obviously be great, Spunk Phone, but nothing's decided at the end of August. We would only be in 9 points, they'd be in six. And you'd imagine it would give them time to either get rid of Gerrard or possibly get their act together. Now, on the flip side, if we lose, it's not the end of the world either. And I dearly hope people do not overreact as much as it would be, to quote Neil Lennon, bitterly disappointing. Because if you're thinking about it, I mean, you're told, get into this game at the start of the month, we would have been going, pfft. I mean, if we keep it down to two or something, it'll be no bad with this defence. But I've got to say, you look at the strides the team have taken, and it would, you know, it'd be a bump in the road if we weren't to win tomorrow. And hopefully we can come back with a result. But even a draw is not a disaster. I think the biggest thing is we go there tomorrow, we continue to play the way we have been playing. And I think just not getting beat is probably more important than winning, as much as we'd love to see it. Do you agree?
Yeah, to an extent. I think obviously it'd be a massive, massive boost for us if we could come away from tomorrow with the victory there. But I don't think it'll be a bit of a blow, I suppose. But it's not the end of the world if we don't come away with a win tomorrow. I think a draw, as much as they're kind of trying to shift the goalposts now on social media, every post I see for them, how they've got no right apparently to win this game tomorrow because they might have a couple of players out with COVID. You know, they still, despite their ropey form, should be the favourites going into that game because they were the champions last season without losing a game. We've also not beat them, I think, is it in the last six of these games now, thanks to our wonderful former manager and his big game tactics. But yeah, I think, to be honest, I'd never like to say in these games that I would take a draw tomorrow, but I wouldn't really be bothered if that was what we got for the game. I'd say that's probably all right, particularly given where we were a few weeks ago. But I think given some of the football we've played recently, you know, I'd be hopeful that we're able to get the victory.
Before I get a shoot prediction, brother, I just want to cover, there's going to be 50,000 at Ibrox tomorrow, and there's absolutely not going to be 50,000 negative lateral flows before that game, Wilder. Next week, will we see the Ibrox variant be more deadly than the Parker's variant that we saw last week?
Well, the Parker's variant, I think my theory is that's what floored me this week. You say more deadly there, Stephen, so for legal purposes, I would prefer not to answer that question.
Right, fine. Okay, for legal reasons, fair enough, Spunk Phone, but I'm sure that you'll be able to answer this one when I say, if 1 a.m. in the morning have a positive result on a lateral flow, and they've been waiting for this moment tomorrow to belt out 90 minutes of poisonous, bigoted bile, you honestly can't tell me that they're just going to go in the house and go, I better not go to this game. They are 100% going to be there, regardless of the result, aren't they?
I'd imagine there will be a few bells there tomorrow with a bit of temperature and a cough, Stephen, yes.
Oh, man. Right, okay, give me your prediction for tomorrow. I'm going to be bold, right, and I'm going to say 3-1 Celtic.
I was going to go with that as well, Stevie, and I think he'll go open the scoring.
And also, I know that Scott Spunk's betting potentially has a wee bonus for a penalty for Rangers. Are we going to see a Rangers penalty at some point tomorrow? They've not had one all season, I don't think.
It's long overdue. Long overdue, Stevie. So
hopefully it's a consolation.
Fingers crossed.
So this has been the preview for the first Derby game of the season with myself, Stevie, and my struggling but stable colleague, Spunkphone. Spunkphone, will you recover from COVID before that Mexican lassie, who is definitely 25 and definitely a female, comes over to Scotland?
I would hope so, Stevie. And I do apologise. I feel as if I maybe sold her a bit short in the intro there. I just... Like, me trying to explain anything in real life to people that goes on in that account is just impossible. So what I would advise them to do is just to go over there, read the tweets themselves. It makes for some astonishing reading. But no, fingers crossed that I'm fighting fit in time for flying over.
Let's not sell another person short. Can we both give a big shout out to Rizzo for his solo pod as well during the week? It's not an easy thing to do. He did it himself with the both of us on our sick beds, and you have to say the big man well and truly delivered, didn't he?
It was actually sensational. It was possibly the most I've ever enjoyed listening to a gig pod, Stevie.
Fucking hell, we've had John Henderson on, Jackie Aitchison. We've even had yourself on as a chats to back in the day, but John Reid, as always, for some reason, is the fans' MVP, and he's also your MVP. Sickening stuff. But I just want to also say a reminder that this podcast is free, and it's all because the sponsorship of Swiss Movement, www.swissmovement.co, who offer 10% off all of their watches, men's and women's, with the code GIGPOD88. Spunkphone, me and you have the smartwatches. Well, I have mine, you'll have yours next week. It's a great time to be alive, isn't it? It's a great time to be sponsored by these guys, and furthermore, our listeners should definitely wear them, shouldn't they?
Definitely, Stevie, and I'm saying that with no contractual obligations whatsoever to say so. But no, I look forward to my smartwatch arriving the next few days, brother.
Thank you for being a sellout as always. So the review tomorrow is going to be with myself and Rizzo, and it might even be like an hour or something, so try and enjoy that one, GigPod fans. As always, you can listen to us everywhere when you get your podcasts. Again, thanks to Spunkphone for being brave and recording this with me, and hopefully by the time you've listened to this, you're gearing up for the fact that we're going to go to Ibrox and give a good account of ourselves and get 3 points. So please listen to the review with myself and Rizzo after tomorrow's game. Stay safe during all this spike in COVID cases as well. It's been a bit of a crap time. Hopefully we don't go backwards, and we'll be able to still do live podcasts and all that later on in the months as the season progresses. Cheers to listening again, and hail hail.
Podcast Network.